All right, welcome to another episode of the Enlightened Gamer Podcast. I am Matt. I am joined by my co-host, John.
Hello.
John, how you doing this week?
Not bad. I heard this is the place to reach enlightenment.
I want us to eventually get to the point where we're just known as EG, so people will forget what it really stands for, like IGN, you know?
Like,
what does IGN stand for? Any
International
idea?
Games...
Network?
Nah.
Sure. I don't know.
Network's too easy. It's obviously not a network.
No, it couldn't be. So, yeah, I have no idea what IGN stands for.
But neuropathy, maybe?
Yes. I'm sure it's a neuropathy.
Seems like an odd choice of word, but okay.
Yeah, and then they have peripheral, as in, it's like the silent P that no one pronounces.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I just kind of want to get to the point where we're just EG. But yeah, Enlightened Gamer. I don't know that you're going to find much enlightenment on the show.
But you'll find entertainment, I hope.
We have other podcasts on the network where you can legitimately try to find enlightenment. My brother, Joel, who is former co-host of the Enlightened Gamer.
He's like the quasi co-host, the floating co-host.
Yeah.
I think floating co-host.
That's probably more accurate. I think he's kind of wanting to focus a little bit more on that podcast, but he's starting the new 66.
All that and MechWarrior.
Well, sure. It's hard to be on a gaming podcast when you play one game exclusively.
Oh, wait, I do it.
Well, you've played other things, though.
I play other things all the time, but lately I've spent a lot of time on Minecraft, but that's because I was just made moderator of my favorite server.
Yeah, so that becomes a time commitment, I'm sure.
A little bit.
And you play for those who are trying to bridge the gap and find us and later obsess over us and eventually kill us. He plays on the Reddit server, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah, it's not an official server, but it's nerd.new. It's basically the Reddit server. It's not sanctioned by Reddit, but it's like a bunch of Redditors got together and made a cool server.
I really wish everyone else could see how high you're sticking your nose in the air as you're saying this, by the way.
Well, I'm trying to distance myself from everyone's initial reaction of Reddit.
Okay. Like, I got you.
Who is this Reddit?
Like who is the hacker said. 4chan?
Oh, yeah, that too. But no, so I was just made moderator of that server, so I've been playing a lot more Minecraft.
I got you.
But I don't just focus on that. I've been playing Overwatch. Which is an important question. What have you been playing this past week?
Thanks to an anonymous contribution, I've been playing Overwatch as well.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Yeah.
Whoever that was.
Whoever that was.
Guy or gal.
Could be whoever. I appreciate that. But yeah, I've been playing Overwatch, yeah, and I had my skepticisms about the game. I didn't know too much about it, but I actually like it quite a bit. I think it's a more approachable Team Fortress 2.
Exactly. Maybe. It's like Team Fortress 2 for the 2000s, in a sense. I mean, I know Team Fortress 2 came out early 2000s, but it's like for the 2010s. It's like the next generation of Team Fortress 2.
And
more champions, they're more, I think their powers are more defined, in a sense. Like, you know exactly what the powers are.
Right. There's no like scaling up or being behind because you're, you know, six levels behind or something. So,
exactly.
I mean, I know that that's not a Team Fortress thing either, but I think what turned me off to the game was when I saw it initially, I thought it was like a MOBA. So that had me at least a little bit confused. But yeah, I was glad to find it's not really a MOBA.
You were thinking of Battleborn probably.
Yeah.
That became more of the MOBA.
And yeah, I was in the Battleborn beta actually.
Me as well.
And I guess the NDA, I'm sure. I don't think there was an NDA at the time.
No, there was no NDA for Battleborn.
I'm sure we're
you can talk freely about
well
it.
In the clear. Yeah, to talk about it. The only character I really cared about in Battleborn was the Eagle. I don't remember what his name was.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But he had
the
like
snipey guy.
Yeah, he had a big. Well, he had like a big grenade launcher or something, and he could like fly above the crowd. Yeah, the sniper guy was like the steampunk robot, like C-3PO dude with a pistol.
So, thinking about Battleborn, and this is nothing against Battleborn, but this was like one of my first MOBA experiences. And so I'm going in there and I'm like trying to gang up on their champions, other champions. And, you know, I get screamed at in team chat. Don't go after the other champions. Kill the minions. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing right now. So I ended up just hanging it up. And then I started playing Awesome Knots. And then I'm like, oh, crap, you really do need to go after the minions. And, you know, minions only get released every so often.
Right.
So you might as well kill them.
Well, the beginning, that's the thing about it. There's a shift between when you really need to be attacking the minions, when you should be trying to get kills on the other champions and stuff. And it's,
but I had no idea what MOBAs were, so I did terrible at the Battleborn open beta.
Well, MOBAs are a type of genre that I don't love necessarily anyway, because there's
like work.
It is, and there's such like a
rage too,
all that too. But like you have to, yeah, make it your job to try and figure out. There's such a learning curve to any of those types of games. Even something.
I mean, how many champions does League of Legends have? Over 100
or more, at least.
Or nearly 100
could probably
what
be.
What about Dota 2?
You're probably right. It's probably cool. I have no idea, but So Dota 2 is like. The group, the player community that laughs at League of Legends for being too easy. So, like, oh, yeah. I'm not about to really get into Dota 2 and try and play that stuff. So,
me either. I just don't have the, I don't have the mind for it. My mind is too feeble.
Well, I've just got too many things going on. Like,
in life.
You know, I'm a stepdad and, like, yeah, I end up driving my wife to work and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I just, like, between that and trying to get school going, having a podcast, I mean, of all the things I need in my life to become
MOBA
a
is not at, enough. Yeah, no. Especially MOBAs are designed to extract money out of you. If you want additional champions, you have to pay for them or grind forever.
Right.
Generally speaking, there are ones like Smite where you pay whatever it is, $15, and you get all the champions.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's not terrible. Cool. And it's also there's a rotation, I think, of champions you can play as every week. That's a pretty standard MOBA thing, but.
Oh, and then like you was an ARAM where you can play champ. You don't get to choose it; they just give you a random champion.
All random, all middle. I think is what that stands for, which means there's only one lane, and you just get a random champion. You just go out there and beat each other.
Even if you don't own the champion, they'll give it to you. Yeah, so you get to learn them.
Yeah, I think.
Which is important because if you ever play against them, you need to know what they're capable of.
Oh yeah, I mean,
my brain is not wired that way to learn 60 champions and know how to.
I don't want to have encyclopedic knowledge of like just one game.
I just want to. Just play and have a good time.
And honestly, that game has been responsible for ruining a number of LAN parties I've been at, honestly, where I think like it ends up dominating, you know.
How so?
Well, they end up having an in-house. An in-house is when you have at least 10 people, you know, who can actually play all in the same games. They're setting up a private game and they're doing 5-on-5. Well, like, usually someone like me will get roped into the thing who doesn't have the experience with it.
Yeah.
We'll end up ruining my entire team's chance of winning because I just have no idea what I'm doing, right?
Well, the thing with League of Legends, if you like do terribly in the first 5-10 minutes, like you cannot come back from that unless
really,
there's an act of God.
Really difficult.
It's like super rigged.
Or if your team like, you know, allocates additional players to come help you for a while and then the whole team is behind.
And then another lane gets overrun and
right. So like the whole thing
is destroyed.
Yeah, the whole thing is kinda dumb. So like
I got into it. I can't get into it. And it's sort of like me with World of Warcraft, which I know you've put countless hours in. I know I might enjoy it if I get to learn it, but I'm gonna lose my life to it.
Well, my introduction to League of Legends was like 3 or 4 years probably after the game came out, and it was like my group of friends who like needed a body to fill a seat to basically play the game, right? So like I basically had to be a complete natural at it and just, you know, be a prodigy out the gate. And like my friends only play this game too after they've been drinking like fiends from like noon until midnight. It's like all day drinking. And then they're like, all right, cool. And like I don't know how they're
They still get mad at the sober guy.
Right. Their skill for the game still is retained because it's muscle memory for them for how much they play it. But like yes, their demeanor by which, you know, by the time their blood alcohol level is high enough.
0.24?
Something, yes. A quarter of their blood is now alcohol. Is that what that 0.24 would be?
No, that would be 3.3. Not point. It would be no decimal. It would just be 3.33 would be, or no, a quarter?
It
would
be
0.25.
0.25, yeah.
No, it would just be 2.5. We're talking about percent, so.
Yeah, exactly. So
0.08%.
So if you haven't been following, we went from Overwatch to MOBA to blood alcohol.
DUI.
Anyway, like, so it's not been, I've never had like a really friendly introduction to League of Legends. I don't think a lot of people can at this point because everyone's been playing it for.
Everyone's amazing except for the new guy.
Right.
There's no way to wean yourself or to ease yourself in. I know Dota has a lot of good tutorials, but still, it's just
a huge leap. You just have to be competitive at all. You have to start playing against other players.
You gotta play against the Russians.
You gotta drop the soap. Like, I don't know. You just have to. You have to play a few rounds where you're not going to do well, and then.
Oh yeah, and the rounds last how long? 15 or 30 minutes.
The most games are done within 30 minutes, but you can play against a team that can drag it out or whatever. So.
To me, that's long.
Yeah,
I don't have the time for that.
Well, I just know my friends have like multiple thousands of games under their belts or whatever. Like. I think a lot of my friends have 1,800 plus wins. So, like, I mean, if they don't win every game, which you know they don't. So, like, and that doesn't even include non-ranked games. It doesn't include bot matches and things like that. So, like, just trying to think how much time has been committed to this game. And for a game that's free, I know a couple of my friends just put three-digit figures into, like, skins. And
if you're thinking about the friend I'm thinking of, it's actually four digits.
Like, no, I mean, I'm pretty sure I know who the friend you're referring to now is.
He did the thing. They have a new feature where they can tell you how much you've spent on it. And I think it was like $1,200.
Wow. So, that's, you know,
a lot of money to sink
for
into
a free game, right? I mean, yeah. I could buy a car for that. Not a nice one, mind you, but something. Yeah. I don't know. That's interesting. Anyway, Overwatch is pretty fun.
Yeah. It's not really an FPS. It's a team, I don't know, a team FPS. It's like Team Fortress where you have to like guide a vehicle.
Yeah.
To, through various checkpoints into the end point.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, I mean, there's different maps, different modes, but that's maybe the most common one. And
what mode is that called?
I don't know. I don't care. Escort, something like that.
Yeah, but, I'll call it escort.
So, like, you can also build your team, and there's like attackers and tanks and support and healer and healers, stuff like that. Yep. So there's a lot of like team play elements and stuff that really work out pretty well. And there's just something for everybody to do. I think it's a much more approachable game though. And whereas you can be really good at it, like, I don't know, I didn't feel intimidated by anyone I was playing with so far.
And I'm not good at it, but I was able to jump in two games in a row. I had the final like kill cam where they showed like the coolest kill.
Yeah,
I know that's not an exact science, but it made me feel like, hey, I'm capable of actually doing well at this game.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I had that for the few games that I played too, like a multi-kill of four or five different kills. So.
And I played as the Scandinavian short guy with a turret. I can't remember his name.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking. He's also got Bjorn, like a pincher armor or something too.
Yeah, he's got like
mech armor kind of stuff. Like, on.
Liquid metal, he shoots at people.
I never have actually seen him in a game yet.
Well, I play as him, and the turrets are amazing. You just put them wherever you know the enemy's going to be, and you get so many kills.
That's pretty fun. I think the champs that I see the most, I see Soldier 76 a lot. I like playing as Soldier 76.
Grog or whatever the fat guy is who with the chain.
Roadhog.
Roadhog, and he pulls you with the chain.
I see him a lot. Roadhog's pretty common. I haven't seen Winston monkey. That much. That's the ape Winston. You don't see him very often.
I don't really think he's that great.
He's not bad. I played as him.
Did you get the ape rage?
Monkey
rage or whatever it's called.
You know, like I played a match that I think was so quick I didn't even really use my like ultimate or whatever you want to call that.
Your ult.
Yeah. Or maybe I did. But his thing is cool because
he's got the plasma cannon, right?
Yeah, I think. And then also he's got just his abilities are fun. He's got like the big shield thing. But then also
he can jump really high and then crash down and knock people over.
I think, I don't know, he can jump though. That's his thing, is like he has this ability. You can jump in the air and then press the button. It like propels him forward crazy. So he's like really good at attacking from far away. And
but like when he lands, he does knock him over or he like
probably
disorients them so you can start shooting them. So.
Sure, whatever. I'll take your word for it. I've played as him, I think, one round. Okay. I don't think I've ever played against him.
And I like that he's like the most intelligent of the characters.
Yeah. If you get into the
proper British accent,
if you dig into the lore too and all that stuff, which I don't know,
or just hearing him talk while you're playing,
right?
It's very well spoken. It's kind of funny because he's a monkey.
Yeah, well, he's also a scientist or a doctor, or whatever. So there's the monk robot thing. I'm trying to think what his name is. Zenyatta.
Okay,
you played against him at all?
No. I'm not sure I have, but I haven't identified
him. I think he's a healer, too, but I've been killed by him more than a few times.
Oh, the guy who's doing the pose with the cross legs?
Yeah, and he's, like, meditating and hovering. Yeah, he's got, the balls that go around him and stuff.
I've seen our friend Tyler play with that.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be one of his favorite characters. He's like, a cybernetic Tibetan monk somehow.
I'll tell you what I hate is the girl in the,
the parka?
The parka, yeah. She can freeze people, and she can
and she has the ice big wall. Ice wall thing.
My God, it's so annoying. I get frozen, and I'm like, you know, this tank with massive health, and she's just pinging away at my head.
I think she's one of the reasons that game might be Tumblr popular, too, or Tumblr famous, because...
Yeah, but they're going to have to nerf her.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying because she's like kind of she got that plus size model body type.
Oh, yeah. And well, there are a couple of those, too.
There's a couple of them, yeah.
And but, like...
I have no problem with that, obviously, but...
Who was that character that caused the controversy?
Tracer.
Tracer, yeah. So she was in a pose that, like, highlighted her butt.
Yeah.
And like, I know thanks to, like, folks like Anita Sarkeesian, they point out, like, that women's butts are highlighted in games and men's butts are not. They're, like, hidden. And there was, like, a bit of a Tumblr, quote-unquote, controversy over that.
Right.
And... I mean, I don't want to comment on that because reasons. But what's funny is Blizzard's reaction. So they're like, yeah, we're going to address this. And they just released the exact same character in a different pose or something.
Right.
Like that.
Well, that's literally what it was, though. I think people had an issue with the pose and not the character, which for me is, like, weird, too.
Yeah, because they have so many, like, gender-positive women, or, like pro-women characters.
Dude, who cares? Like, that's kind of my thing is, you know what?
They have one in a parka.
Like, I mean, have a guy who's in spandex or latex or whatever, and I feel like maybe I won't play it. Well, I'm trying to think, like, okay, so go back to, like, Soul Calibur and look up the character. I'll look him up for you real quick. Voldo. Do you know anything about Voldo from Soul Calibur?
Okay. I don't know anything about that. But.
So he's like an S&M dude with, like, a cod piece that's got, like, a bowl or something on it crazy, and, like, his fighting style is all weird, and, like, he looks like a sadomasochist, and... Like, there's never been any controversy over Voldo, I don't think, really. His fighting set is kind of, like, sexually suggestive.
And I get where they're coming from. I know there are a lot of female characters in games where they have their curves are accentuated, and they're trying to get, like, the horny male element to buy the games for that reason. But, like, I don't think that Overwatch is an example of that. But it was kind of weird to see people get up in arms over that in Tumblr or where else.
So I'm getting a picture of Voldo for the first time for John so he can see this character.
Jeez.
But yeah, I mean, so he's...
Triggered.
Yeah, sure. I just, like, there are things you can point to in other games, like male characters that are kind of, he's overly sexualized or something. I guess the thing is, like, you're saying that this person shouldn't be in the game is kind of saying, like, there's a person I'm sure who looks a lot like Tracer, or a lot of cosplay people out there who would love to dress up as Tracer as she is right now. And are you saying, like, those women are less equal to women who want to dress like May or what?
And they also have a woman who's in a parka. Like, she's in a full-length fur coat.
Right.
I think that's great. Like, they have all different types of characters. I just thought that was silly, but I think Rockstar handled that with class.
I mean, Blizzard. It's representative of a population, because there's people out there who like wearing, like, all the women out there who wear yoga pants.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's your equivalent, I guess, like your real world equivalent.
And I don't want to mean to get into territory of someone that we both know and love, of a conspiracy theory territory, but you and I both are on Facebook, and Facebook likes to highlight news items. But I feel like they highlight items that aren't really that popular, but they're controversial to try to make them more popular than they are.
Right.
Like, they're news items that are famous for being famous. So they blow these things out of proportion, too. Like, seriously, it could have been like 5 retumbles of an item or of a comment on Tumblr turns this into an international news story.
Well, I think what bothers me, though, is, like, it's a feminist voice saying that a character like this shouldn't be out there, shouldn't be in games or whatever. I don't know if that's their position or if their position was literally like, just don't put her in a pose that accentuates her features. But, like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of saying that the correct version of a woman is someone who isn't like that, too. Like, that seems like an anti-feminist thing to say.
I feel like there are no winners in this argument. And,
absolutely.
You know, I just think that...
Moving on.
We should move on from this conversation, ultimately. Well,
today's episode wasn't about Tracer's spandex.
It's about something quite different from all of that, actually.
Yeah.
But this is kind of a week in review we were going
to. We just wanted to, you know, spike some controversy so we'd have to deal with the fallout of the comments.
We'll have to make sure we... we'll have to make sure we tag this episode with Anita Sarkeesian, and we'll get a bunch of listens.
Oh, yeah. Is that right? Is she, like, the ringleader behind a lot of this stuff, or what?
She created the show. She had the Kickstarter where they do the show about women and gender in video games.
And so she's a voice on the matter of female representation in video games.
Yeah. I mean, she feels like there should be some equality between how male characters and female characters are represented.
I don't care if you put a hypersexualized male character in the game.
Like, I think she agrees. I think she just feels like there's a lot more female hypersexualized characters than male. But I think they are targeting their main demographic, which
is
horny males.
Like, we need more women in games. We need more women.
We need more women making them. We need more women playing them.
Yeah.
We need more women owning companies that make them.
Oh, yeah.
This needs to be like a 50-50 thing. I agree wholeheartedly.
So, I mean, like, but because it's not that, I think you're saying a lot of, well, okay, so if you have, you said the word horny, I guess, but if you have, a stimulated male person who's the 3D character designer for these games, yeah, maybe he'd be apt to make a female character more what he's looking for in a mate or something. But like if we have a female 3D character modeler, absolutely, maybe she'd be like, well, or this is what I would think of when I think of a woman or whatever.
Or she might, you know, put that other modeler in check and say, wait a second, let's make this a little more realistic here.
So I don't know. I just think there's a gap.
You can't extrapolate that and say like this is representative of society as a whole. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you're going to have a higher percentage of males playing video games.
Right.
And I think you can get some really weird conclusions when you do that. And so, no disrespect to Anita Sarkeesian. I think that there should be plenty of gender equality. There should be more female characters. There should be more realistic female characters in games.
And like, I'm all for all that. I just think it's something that's going to happen.
It should happen organically.
It's not going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen.
And it should happen organically. It should be natural.
It shouldn't require picket signs outside of this or that. So I think, I don't know. Whenever I see a story like that, though, I can't help but really think like, oh, slow news day. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I kind of don't care.
I really don't care at all. And,
but I think it's something that'll change positively in the future. And there's a lot of cool charities out there. Some of which are, helped by Humble Bundle. There's one that helps, girls learn how to code.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, girls make games or?
Yeah, I think girls. Yeah, you're almost exactly right with that. Or
yeah.
girls making games or something.
And like the Humble Bundle was for games developed primarily by women, I think.
Right, yeah.
And there were some decent games there.
Well, of course.
Why did I say that? That's terrible.
No,
let me go back. No, there were good games in that bundle, and I thought that was great. I bought the bundle.
Well,
I paid more than Beat the Average.
It's not to say that women
sounded so sexist.
Women can make any game they want to. Like, and I've played games developed by women. And I'm like, man, these games are great, but they can make crap. I mean, anyone's capable of that one way or the other.
Basically, women are capable of making crap games. Like, I'm capable of making crap games, which is all I've made is crap games.
Right. So, I mean, but
we should just celebrate accomplishments of people.
If
a person makes a good game, we should celebrate that.
It's a numbers game right now, which is like to say, because more men are in the field, you're going to see more.
Yeah.
And like people talk about the good games a lot and some of the bad games get brushed under the rug. So.
Well, I think a lot of our society discourages girls from playing games, from pursuing those types of majors that would help them.
Boyish.
And I think that's wrong. Like a lot of girls are told like from a very young age, like, you know, that's not what girls do. And I know that society is getting better as a whole, but like, I think that a lot of girls are turned away from getting into video game development, playing video games, just because of social mores.
Yeah.
And I think that that's stupid.
Well, yeah, I think anything you do, it should be like, for me, video games are just, it's what I naturally lean to. Like, and it's a form of, I don't know, stress relief. It's a form of just, I don't know, I enjoy it. Like, it puts dopamine in my body and it makes me happy. So,
and I mean, you're no different biologically than a woman for the most part. Like, I feel like a woman could benefit just as much.
I'm a little bit biologically different than a woman, but I know what you mean.
I'm not
98%.
I'm not firing on all cylinders right now, so I'm not saying the right words, but
yeah, don't worry about it.
Everything that you enjoy at a video game, a woman is capable of enjoying.
Correct.
And I feel like girls should be encouraged to play games if that's what they're interested in, just like boys are. And they should not be discouraged from, you know, video game development, from programming, anything like that. And they shouldn't, and people as a whole in society should not see majors like that as being unsexy or unfeminine or masculine.
Right. Well, and I think we're getting there. Like,
we really are.
You're allowed to have, like, little girls are allowed to play with G.I. Joe now. Like, it's fine. Like, little boys are allowed to play with Barbie. And, like, even if they grow up being gay, like, cool, that's okay now too. Like, I don't know why.
I think most people are starting to realize that, like, that's the way that they're wired at birth.
Right.
So, like,
they kind of tend to drift towards, like, some of the boys tend to drift towards that like pink aisle in the toy store and
absolutely
some, it doesn't matter. Like, so anyway,
you should just let your kids become who they want to be. And I am more than happy to see more women get into video game development. I think that's great.
Well, I can't wait for this the comment section on this episode to explode.
Well,
and become nuclear.
And like, you know, I've had some strong feelings about the whole
I'm trying to segue. If you can figure out your last point, you're going to make
that's it. You know, regardless of what your opinion on the whole Gamergate thing is, put that aside and just I am all for equality in pretty much everything that I love. So video games.
But not...
Let's pursue equality.
Not,
let's
not equality for sake of equality.
No, no, no. Let's not force it. Let's not mandate it. Let's create an environment where it happens organically.
Strong-armed equality is not real equality.
No,
so.
No. We create an environment that fosters organic equality.
Yep.
All right. So anyhow, speaking of organic...
yes, and inorganic, I don't know. So we're talking
organic
about
organic chemistry.
We're talking about Fallout this week, yes. And the game series. I ran a Twitter poll a few days ago, and actually have had a surprisingly larger response than most of our other Twitter polls, which is to say we've had 16 votes.
Nice.
On this series. Yeah, so that's awesome. That's some great interaction. Thanks for anyone who got in there and voted. If you're hearing this now, I'm not sure if the poll's still open or not, but check out our Twitter. We are at Video Game Pod. And let me share with you. Well, actually, would you like to wager a guess real quick, John, as to which game is in the lead for most popular?
I've never seen this poll, in all honesty. So what was the question that was posed?
Okay, so I said Twitter post reads as follows. Today is impossible to argue survey. Best Fallout game, colon, hashtag Fallout, hashtag game. Yeah, I won't give you the rest of the hashtags, but it's Fallout, Fallout 2, Fallout 3, or Fallout 4. So I took out New Vegas and Tactics. It's just anything that got its own number, I guess.
Okay, well, I question your decision to pull out Vegas, but regardless,
so have a couple other people on Twitter.
Oh, that they retweeted and
I mean, I for me, I feel like New Vegas was built so much on like the Fallout 3 engine.
Absolutely, it was.
That it's kind of like you can kind of
Fallout
call them the same game.
5.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyhow,
so
I'm going to say,
and really though,
should win.
If I put New Vegas in there, then people are going to be like, "Well, where's Tactics?" And like, I don't know who's really going to try and fight for Tactics. You probably don't know much about it, but it wasn't very good. So
I'm saying Fallout 3.
You are correct. Nice. And Fallout 3 is in the lead with 38%. Fallout, the original, 25%. Fallout 4 is 24%. And Fallout 2, 13%. So if you hear your game in there not being represented in the way you think it should be, then yeah, you should get online and participate in that poll. I'm guessing it'll still be open at that time.
So yeah, Fallout 3, my theory is that it was the first of the series of games that were that style, you know, first person shoot, or no, third person, right?
Well, first or third.
First or third. You know, survival, RPG, FPS, all in one.
I would say, I mean, if anything, I think it's just that you're getting a lot of people who don't have any exposure to the series, and they don't... Okay, so... There's a big gap between the time Fallout 2 comes out and Fallout 3. And let me find
like
the specific.
In the real world or like in their...
In the real world. Okay. So I guess go ahead and tell us a little bit about like what you thought about Fallout 3 and why you think it might be in the polls. But I'm going to find the gap because it's somewhat significant, I think.
Well, the thing about 1 and 2 is that they were asymmetrical style. So that was different than Fallout 3. I think that Fallout 3 appealed to a lot of people like me. I'm speaking from personal experience. I was really into FPS games. You know, shooters and whatnot. And I kind of was open to the RPG element, but I never played RPG before. So Fallout 3 was able to grab me and appeal to my FPS receptors in my brain, but also kind of introduce the elements of RPG to me. And it did a good job of fusing the two genres, and it made for a really addicting, exciting game.
Right. Yeah. I think, because that's when you are coming off. If you've listened to the show before, you know, John's pedigree of first person shooters goes through
shameful pedigree.
Black Ops, at least, I think. And then by that point, you're kind of looking for something different. And that's maybe when you lean towards this. And, maybe you were playing this about the same time.
2010, maybe I picked it up.
That would have been kind of late. I guess it came out in 2008.
Maybe 2000. I think it was 2009.
But New Vegas came out in 2010.
No, it was 2009. I picked up Fallout 3.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
So, 7 years ago.
Right.
Fudge.
But, okay. So, like I was saying, I think that Fallout 3 is getting, at least on the poll here, it's a lot of people's favorite because Fallout 1 comes out in 1997.
Yeah.
Fallout 2 comes out in 1998. And then, like, I don't know, I think Tactics comes out pretty soon after that. There's a couple spin-off games. Okay, yeah. In 2001, that's when Tactics comes out.
Is it also asymmetrical?
It's Isometrical. I wondered what you meant by asymmetrical, where I was like,
not even.
Right. So it's like you against the world, I guess. What? Is that what you mean, John? I mean, that's what asymmetrical combat would be like, evolve or whatever.
Evolve, yeah.
Yeah. But, so, like, the next thing to come out as a spinoff is Tactics. Fallout Tactics, Brotherhood of Steel. Fallout Brotherhood of Steel in 2004 and Fallout Shelter, which is the iOS app, or I think it's on Android too. So
which came out like 2 years ago?
No, the mobile app. I mean, it came out at E3, like along when they were showing all the stuff for Fallout 4 in 2015 E3. They put out the app like that same day. So, but yeah, I mean, there's a big gap between Fallout 2 that came out in 1998 and Fallout 3 in 2008. So I think that's why Fallout 3 might be the more popular, is it picked up a lot of new fans at that point.
Oh, okay.
And probably people too, because this game, I mean, it falls into that type of controversy marketing maybe, or like it's a game that's, you know, probably, if it wasn't rated adult only at the time, it probably would be now if it came out, like Fallout 2 anyway.
Really? Why is that?
There were a lot of like heavy themes of like, so you could get married in that game. It's like one of the first games I remember you could actually get married. There's one of the quest lines. You could marry a prostitute, I think, or you could marry this woman and then turn her into a prostitute. So that was like one of those things where like you could have her turn out tricks and make money for you and things like that. I mean, this game is
serious?
Yeah, this game is famous, especially
it's had an AO rating though, right?
Especially the older games. Well, I'm going to take a look at that here in a second, but like the older games especially were really good at I don't know. They were really well made. So like in the newer games, you can pick your intelligence and charisma ratings, things like that. I don't know what impact those have on like conversation.
Yeah.
In the old games, if you had a low intelligence, like one or two, or like low charisma, you couldn't talk to other people like
at all.
Like it would be nonsense. It'd be like unintelligible. So it would just be, random letters and stuff and grunt noises and things. So you'd have a really difficult time communicating with anyone. So hopefully then that means you put all your points in like strength or perception. So you're like a crack shot, or you could like break someone's jaw in half just by punching them. So like, that's what's fun about that game and funny, but
Fallout 2, right?
Yeah. Fallout and Fallout 2. Okay. So like at the same time though, like, if you were really charismatic and were really intelligent, I think Fallout 2, you can get through the entire game without killing anyone. And I mean, like, I know that that's a big deal and for some indie games now.
So they totally ripped off Undertale with that.
They did. Like, and by like, about, you know, 16 or 17 years in advance. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's why for me, we're not going to open up the whole Undertale discussion again, but like, that's why for me, that's not really that impressive, because Fallout 2 did it way better earlier. And like,
plus the first time you play Undertale, you can't play it that way, right?
Correct. I think like you have to play through once and then you can play through again and get that correct ending or whatever. But in Fallout 2, you can literally be so charismatic and intelligent that you convince the boss at the end of the game to kill himself.
Really?
Yeah. I think you can either talk him off a ledge and like change his mind. That's one way to win the game. Or I think you can literally convince him to kill himself. And so that's another way to beat the game.
That's incredible.
Really, we're talking about this week, because I've been spending so much time playing Fallout 4, it's criminal.
Every time I see you pop on Steam, it's Matt is playing Fallout 4, and, mm-hmm. you know, at all hours of the day. So there must be something there that you really enjoy. I have not touched Fallout 4. I've not watched a Twitch broadcast of it. I've not watched any YouTube videos. I know nothing about the game, other than what I've seen on, like, Reddit.
Did you even look at, like, the E3 footage or anything?
Nope.
Wow. Okay. So you have like almost no, you have no reference level for Fallout 4.
I did that so I could, be a great, co-host on this episode.
So you could ask all the right questions. I'm trying to find. Okay. So Fallout 2, according to the box art, and I don't think it's had a change in its rating, is mature. So, I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, there's some funny different things you can do in Fallout 2. I think Fallout 2 is one of the only games, or is the only game in the series, where you don't play as a Vault Dweller.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in Fallout,
what do you play as?
Fallout 2, you play as, I think you play as the son of the character in Fallout 1, or the descendant of the character in Fallout 1, and you actually belong to a tribe of people who, I don't know. They like worship the vault or something. But they basically need like what's called a Garden of Eden creation kit or a GEC to like basically purify their water and like recreate their land and stuff. It's this really advanced piece of technology. So that's like kind of the plot you follow. You're supposed to be trying to go find that. And that's the big first half of the game, I think. And I never really got that far into Fallout 2's actual plot because that's just not why I play these games. I love the fact that they're open world and like you can do whatever you want. And I thought,
beat the game however you want.
Right. And especially back in 1998, I thought, man, that's really cool.
Wait, so you did play this back in 98?
I think I played it, yeah, like right around the time it came out.
Wow. So you were like an impressionable lad of 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah, yeah, sure was. I was running around trying to find Jet from Johnny What's-His-Face and like all these different characters.
That in real
like,
life, right?
That
because,
I didn't...
Because of the game?
That I didn't put together. No. No, it wasn't like that. But
I can't find Jet, but I think this Coke stuff will work.
That's the idea. They're all... I'm trying to think Jet's probably like Speed, maybe. It's like
an... Coke? Psycho? Oh, no, it's PCP, right?
I think that'd be heroin, maybe? I don't know. A Psycho looks...
The pain one is...
Psycho looks like you inject it, so I'm not sure. There's like real world equivalents of all this stuff. What's actually kind of fun in Fallout 4 is you can, at a chemistry station, you can mix all these things together. So you can make like,
really?
You can make like Buff Tats and Buff Jet and like Psycho Jet and all this kind of stuff. And they have different effects and everything.
Oh, what was Mentats or Memtats?
I don't remember. I mean, they're still in the game. I just don't remember what they do specifically. I mean, like the new game has it laid out really easily and stuff in the menu that tells you exactly what it does. Like it'll give you more AP or like temporarily give you better max HP and stuff. Something that's really cool about this one, in Fallout 4, the entire world, I mean, it is still radiated and stuff, so you can still take radiation from like being in the water and whatever, but there's parts of the perk tree that let you, allow you to like get past all the stuff and of radiation that was kind of annoying. Like, I don't know if Fallout 3, like the radiation stuff ever annoyed you at all?
So much. Every time you want to drink water, you get hit with rads.
So you can level up your character, and there's no level cap, as best I'm aware, for Fallout 4. I mean, I was watching your friend on your friends list earlier. Someone on your Xbox live friends feed or whatever was like level 79 playing this game. So I mean, it's certainly really high if there is a level cap at all. But one of the things you can get is a perk called Aqua Boy, I think, and it allows you to swim in the radiated water and not take radiation. And you can also breathe underwater and things like that. And there's also one that allows you, it's called Lead Belly, I think is the perk, but it allows you to drink that water and stuff, and you'll take less rads. And then at the highest level of it, you'll take no radiation from it at all.
Nice.
But a lot of what this game too involves is like colony building. And that's really cool. So you'll take land and like kind of clear away all the crap and then rebuild what you want there.
Okay.
And it kind of involves some of your Minecraft stuff of like building generators and hooking up wires to different connectors and fuses and that sort of stuff, which is really fun. Yeah. So I don't know. You really need to take a look at it, honestly.
So here's one thing I do know about the game that kind of disappoints me. Now, I know, and you know where I'm going to go with this as soon as you start talking about it, but... there's a voice actor for the main character, but because of that, your conversation cannot go different directions like it used to. You can't be like, charm, say this, and then make a completely different outcome, or luck, say this, have a different outcome, or, was this one where you're good with women.
Oh, okay. So some of those things,
pretty much always, it's like a choose your own adventure book where you always end up at the same ending.
Kind of, and that's like
the complaint I hear on Reddit.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, so the way that these things work now, so charisma used to be a thing, like I was saying. In Fallout 2, there's a place where you're supposed to be looking for the GEC, and it's like the New California Republic, and it's really everything's kind of sterile there, and it's one of these colonies that's like trying to rebuild the world. So like there's a basically a citizenship test you have to take and stuff. So if you're too stupid or not charismatic enough, you won't get in there. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, that has a pretty major impact to you on the game in terms of like, oh crap, I didn't have high enough charisma or intelligence. This game, it's like, if you have low charisma or intelligence, I mean, there are certain options you can pick. Like you can try to persuade people of this or that. And you just won't be successful. Though actually the character I made most recently and the one I've had the most fun playing started out with a character that had 10 charisma, and that's the highest you can get. So for a lot of these quests you'll take, one of the options is like, okay, I'll do it, but I want a reward, or I want more bottle caps than you're offering me. And so my guy will be like, all right, I'll do it, but not for free. And they're like, all right, fine, we'll pay you. And I go, yeah, I'm going to need more caps than that. And they're like, all right, fine, we'll pay you more. And then he goes, yeah, I still need more money than that. And he gets away with it every time. But what's cool about that, I'm getting more money.
Yeah.
But also I get experience from...
You
get
more charisma too, right?
Well, I mean, you can't get more charisma than 10, I don't think. But like, yeah, I'll get more experience so I can level up other things more quickly. Oh, okay. So like my guy, I also made his intelligence pretty high. So like his XP, the amount of XP he gets from doing different things is pretty high too. So I've gotten like to a pretty high level with only playing that character for a short time. And from really only just making promises of going to do things later that I'll get around to. So it's kind of a fun way to play that game. Because I guess one of the things about this game too, because there's no level cap, all of your characters can eventually become kind of the same person. You know, like if you got all the way through all the trees, you can level everything up. And every time you level up, you can add another point to the like special thing. And that's special stands for strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck. So those are the different things you put stats in at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's good and bad, but it still definitely feels unique to play through the game as a character with 10 charisma who's like practically cross-eyed. Like, one of the experiences that I had is perception is so low, and this was my game actually messing up, but I wasn't sure because... I would pull the sights up and start shooting, and the hit detection was off. So like I had to actually shoot left of the character I was trying to shoot at by like half an inch. I was like, what's going on with that? So I had to restart my game, and it was just a bug with the game. But I thought it might have been really like it might have actually been the company being like, oh, your perception is so bad, you're like you have issues with depth perception. And I thought that'd have been really funny if they did do that. I think that would be an area to explore in the next game, that like your guy's literally cross-eyed if his perception's only like 2 or 3. I don't know. I want to get into your experience with Fallout 3 and like what do you remember of it and what about it was so gripping and different than like games you'd played before.
I loved how you could immerse yourself in the game and just spend hours exploring. There was always something neat to explore. So the first time you played it, it was like that feeling of wonder was never gone. You could always walk a different direction you hadn't explored yet, find a new encampment, partake in some quests there, and then get led to another area on a quest and discover that. And then you would just get so like overwhelmed with quests. To me, that was just such a good feeling, and hours would just flip by.
Well, yeah, and like to speak to what you're saying exactly, like you look at the map and you think, because I don't know, like we play so many games that don't try that hard, you're like, oh, well, there's probably nothing like at the northern part of the map or not very much. Do you remember in Fallout 3 when you go to like almost the most northern tip and there's that guy who's like radiatedly like fused to a tree? You remember that part at all? Did you ever get there?
I believe I know what you're talking about, yes.
Well, it's a guy who's like, basically, I think he was a ghoul or something, and he got like a tree grew up around him, or he grew inside him or something. Fire. Well, you could like burn him to death. And that was like, what I think, one of the evil things. Like,
that's really funny you bring that up, because that's part of the 3-part question I was going to ask you, but go ahead.
I think he wanted to die or something like that, so you could go down there. I think you could go down there and like take his heart out or like kill his heart.
That was the
humane way of like ending his life. Well, or
I just thought of 3 questions to see how evil you are. First of all, the first time you played Fallout 3, did you blow up Megaton?
The first time, no.
No?
No.
Okay. Did you light that tree on fire?
I think I did, but the only reason why is because he was so long-winded and boring that like I had basically picked an answer before I even actually knew what I was doing. Because kind of trying to skip through what he was saying.
And the last question is, did you save mankind by fixing the water treatment plant or whatever it was?
I think with my first character, I was pretty much like, I'm going to play this kind of the way, not that there's a way that game's intended to be played, but I just want to get through and see the storyline and everything.
So you did save mankind.
So I think I kind of didn't blow up Megaton out of negligence of even addressing their problem at all, I think. And then like, I got to the end and...
you sacrifice your life.
Correct.
For all of mankind.
And then I was kind of annoyed. I was kind of like pissed at that point because I wanted to keep playing with that character, and you can't. So like, I mean, with the first DLC, it was like spoilers. You come back to life, and like they're like, "Oh, we treated your radiation and everything," so you could like pick up from there with your character, but. I was kind of like at that point annoyed because that DLC wasn't out yet or I couldn't afford it or whatever. But I mean, like I'm always, because these games are so different based on what moral choices you're willing to make. Like you always want to make a new character anyway and be like, all right, this time I'm going to burn the tree or this time I want to watch Megaton explode from Tenpenny Tower.
Well, the thing with the tree, I took it a little too seriously, and so I went down underneath it, which took forever to get to. And I was like using my flamethrower on the roots. I'm like, why is this thing not burning up? It pissed me off until I realized you had to go up above and burn the tree from the top level.
Oh.
But he didn't seem to realize that I had burned his roots.
I got you. Yeah, he didn't. He wasn't so worried about that, I guess.
I used up almost all of my flamethrower fuel.
Oh, that's funny.
It kind of shows you how diabolical I am.
You really committed to burning him, I guess, because you're going to do it from the roots.
But yeah. So I pretty much lived a very evil life. And at the very end, I donated all my bottle caps to charity. And somehow that made me like have good charisma.
Or good karma.
Good karma. And then I went and finished the mission. And then the movie was like, he didn't always lead a good life, but at the end he changed and became a good man, and he saved all of mankind.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and that's accurate to what you did, I guess.
Because I donated a bunch of money to charity, I'm a good guy.
I think between that and the first Fable game, I think it's really funny that they address the fact that you can kind of buy karma. Like charitable, like
self-aware of it.
Charitable contributions. I don't even know. I think in Fable it was more a thing of like the game kind of was broken in that way, but I mean, you could like donate all this money, and it would make your karma. For every coin or gold you donated, it gave you like that much in karma. So it was really easy to like switch your alignment.
Nice.
And kind of around that same area, there was a place you could take people and like sacrifice them to like that version of the game's like Satan. So
GTA had that. I know we just talked about GTA in a previous episode, but. Did you ever do the mission where you could take people to that secret encampment and then sell them?
I've driven up there a couple times on accident. It's like kind of in the base of Mount Chiliad somewhere, I think.
Yeah, you go through a tunnel and then you're there.
I think I got there a couple times, and I had like, I don't know. It's interesting the way games can actually affect you morally and be like, this makes me feel upset. Like, I don't know, this gives me a bad feeling in my stomach. But I don't think I've ever actually delivered anyone to the cult and actually gave him to the cult.
Well, eventually, if you do it enough times, they just attack you one of the times, and you have to kill them all.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but I did that. I have no morals when I play video games.
Do they pay you pretty well to do that, or what? I don't really remember.
Thousand.
Okay, well, that's. I mean, for a taxi ride up to the hills of the base of Mount Chiliad, that's not too bad, I guess.
Well, anytime you have a passenger, you can just take them up there.
That's funny.
But anyhow, I digress. But I usually take the evil path in video games.
Gotcha.
At the end, I try to redeem myself.
It's interesting. You know, we didn't talk about it much in GTA, but that's another game that kind of like has a universe that's like a snake eating its own tail, kind of collapses on itself, you know? Like, I think Fallout's definitely the same way. I guess what made me think of that is like the stories about the... Like, there's a political candidate in GTA 5, and they talk about how people think he killed his wife or whatever. And there's also a ghost in GTA 5. Are you aware of all that?
No.
So there's a ghost that shows up in Mount Chiliad, like, pretty early in the morning at a certain part if you go there. And it's kind of like an Easter egg, but it also spells out the initials of, like, the politician, like, in the like underneath the ghost and stuff, too. So it's kind of say, like, oh, hey, look, he actually did push his wife off the mountain and kill her. And her ghost is there between, like, 3 and 4 every morning at a certain part of Mount Chiliad. So, like, that's kind of funny. And I don't know, Fallout 4 is definitely a lot the same way, where if there's, you know, different pedestrians or different, like, just bystanders talking about something, you can usually look into that and find out whether or not it's true or, like, there's just a lot of different things that are kind of fun and like not necessarily Easter eggs, but like them putting a level of detail in these games that's just astounding.
Oh, absolutely.
So I guess I don't know, what was your favorite part of Fallout 3? You've talked about a couple different things.
Well, let's see. It's been a little while since I played it, but one of the parts of Fallout 3 that I thoroughly enjoyed was when I was running with the Brotherhood of Steel, and they had like this big robot who was fighting alongside me.
Something Prime.
Yeah. And like that felt so cool. Just running to different encampments, blowing up bandits and whoever else.
Right.
And this big robot was doing most of the work.
I think the Brotherhood of Steel is one of the coolest parts of like the Fallout universe.
One of the best factions for sure.
Yeah. And just like you do feel like the Brotherhood of Steel is something really cool when you're
They feel a lot better than Prime. Like Kaesar's or Kaesar or Caesar's Legion. It feels a lot better fighting with them than fighting with those people.
Yeah.
Also, was it the New Republic Police? What are they called?
NCR? New California Republic.
Yeah. Like, those guys are kind of weird. But the Brotherhood of Steel, like, it felt like they were just regular people who were fighting to get their land back.
Yeah. I like the NCR a lot in Fallout 2. And I thought that they had some really cool armor and stuff or whatever. So I ended up kind of running with them and their Rangers kind of a lot. But Fallout 2 obviously being way different than the other two games.
Slightly.
Yeah, a little bit. I think one of the cool things I just came across in Fallout 4 the other day, and this is really cool because I'm just like, I don't know, I'm a fan of like history and I'm a fan of like different like wars and stuff. But I also like, I don't know, I wish there was a cool pirate game out there or whatever. And like, I like the idea of, I don't know, like pirates and swashbuckling and all that stuff. I'm really excited about Rare's game that's coming out, Sea of Thieves, hopefully this year. Yeah. But like a famous ship, a very famous ship, the USS Constitution. You know anything about that?
Oh gosh, that sounds familiar.
Well, it goes by another name. Old Ironsides.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well,
from the Civil War?
Yeah, I mean, it might date back to that. I think of
the Merrimack and the Monitor.
I'm not sure, but it's a very old, it's an old wooden ship, like Diversity. And so yeah, but the USS Constitution or Old Ironsides, which is pretty funny. So like they put fun things in the game for people who are educated on these things. That's actually in Fallout 4, but it's like, I don't know, because of the nuclear apocalypse or whatever, some kind of tidal waves thrown it into a building. So it's actually like being, it's been commandeered and modified, and like it's actually, there's a group of robots that are like all running it now. And even though the robots are like Codsworth from Fallout 4.
Or Fallout 3.
Was he in Fallout 3 too?
Yeah, he would like give you a haircut. He would.
Oh, was it the same name?
I think it was Codsworth.
You might be right. That's interesting. But I mean, Codsworth is your like butler robot thing in Fallout 4 also. I don't know. Like, I think the time frame of Fallout 3 is in between the time periods that are encapsulating in Fallout 4. Because Fallout 4 is fun. You actually start out before the detonation goes off and everything. Oh, so you get to see everything like
green and nice.
Yeah, nice and yeah, exactly. And like,
so anyhow, there's a ship inside of a building that's commandeered by robots.
Correct. The USS Constitution. And they never refer to the ship as Old Ironsides, I don't think. But the name of the captain is Captain Ironsides. And he's this giant robot, like Ironsides, with like missile launchers and whatever. And it was like just and they're all crazy, and like I think all the robots think they are like pirates and stuff and like revolutionaries. So they're actually defending this certain part of town, and I don't know why. They recognize you, or they think like, oh, this guy, and they don't attack you, but they like they have a problem with some scavengers, and you can either take scavenger side or their side. And I went with the crazy robots because there's I think it's awesome, and I love that ship. Like in truth, like I think it's a really cool like historic piece of like American history. But I just thought it was really funny they called him Ironsides, and like that's kind of an inside really joke. Funny. Yeah.
Because like the joke is that they're not even aware of the historical significance.
Right. And that's so much of the game too. Actually, one of my favorite parts. So you go to Diamond City, and Diamond City, the entire place is inside of like a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
And
baseball
so,
diamond.
Yeah. So it's like the green jewel of, I'm trying to think of where you actually play. I think you must be in Washington, D.C.
Oh, sure.
Were you there in Fallout 3?
In D.C., yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that would make sense if, like, Codsworth was also in Fallout 3. Maybe he's an old man. I don't know. I should really have been more researched on this before we started talking about it. But, so anyway, you're playing, like, the main city. One of the main cities is in this big baseball stadium. And one of the guys you go talk to is a guy named Mo Cronin. And he's got this store. I think it's just called, like, Swatters or something like that. And he talks about these Like, it's like, oh, you need to get yourself a swatter and stuff. And you're like, what are you talking about? He's like, baseball bats. And he has no idea what baseball bats are used for. So he thinks that, like, they're for beating the crap out of people.
And he's like, inside of a baseball stadium when he's on.
He tells you how baseball was like this gladiatorial sport where people would go in and, like, beat the crap out of each other with bats. That's actually one of the funny things you can do in this game, too. So, like, I know that this game is all done through voice acting, and some people are like, oh, well, that's crap or whatever. There are still funny options you can have. Like, the game's still absolutely enjoyable to play. And one of the things I always say, I almost always pick this option, it's just too funny. Like, so I'm always like, that's not what baseball is, you idiot. And he's like, oh, yeah, what do you think it was? He goes, oh, it was way more violent. He goes, they would climb into the stands and beat all the, like, that's where they get the term spectator sport, because they would climb into the stands and beat all of them with the baseball bats, too. With the swatters. So, like, there's the option to, like, actually correct him and tell him what baseball was and stuff. But, like, I've never picked that option.
Well, why not? I'd rather them have that awesome idea of what baseball was.
I don't think you can convince him otherwise anyway, because at the end of it, he just goes, yeah, whatever. I like my version better anyway. So, I don't think you can convince him.
Well, that's the thing. The new style has you're not able to have as many
outcomes. I've not felt super burdened by it, though. Like, okay. I'm honest. There's so much more they've added to the game at this point. Like, I don't think you can. I mean, you can kind of moan about them taking that out because it's kind of been pivotal in games past. But at the same time, like, I'm okay with them pioneering into that, like, new area because they're doing so many other things really well. Like, I don't know. The game's just so much fun to play. You end up building all these colonies and stuff. You join the Minutemen, or kind of these people who are trying to take back the wasteland and stuff and go against super mutants and the Institute, which is like this big place that creates all these like synths and everything. I don't want to get too much into the plot because people should just be playing the game, but man, it's fantastic. I obviously can't even play it enough. And I'm like thinking about leaving mid episode right now and letting John just take up the latter half.
Well, before you leave, I wanted to kind of bring it back to Fallout 3 for a second. I know we had a previous episode where we talked about the weirdest and the scariest moments we had in video games. I wouldn't say it's the scariest, but definitely the most unsettling. One of the most unsettling moments I've ever had in a video game was when you went back in time in Fallout 3 and you played out that 1950s town.
Oh, and you had to assume the role of that serial killer.
Yeah.
Serial killer kid clown.
And, like, it started out all, like, Leave It to Beaver-esque and got really dark pretty quickly.
Well, that's what's fun about the Fallout series. Like, all these different vaults. So in every game you play as, like, someone coming from a different vault, typically. It's so, like, in the first one, I think it's 101. And then, like, in the second one, you take up the mantle of Vault 101. This one you play as Vault 111. Mm-hmm. But all of these different vaults in the universe were different social experiments the government was doing on people, where they would, like, get them into these vaults and protect them from nuclear annihilation, but they were also going to conduct these weird experiments on them at the same time.
So, like, that vault was, like, the Matrix, where they put them in, like, an alternate world?
Right, and then someone was, like, supposed to be, like, a serial killer, and they were going to see if they would do it or not, I think. So, like, I don't know, but...
I mean, I did it.
I don't think you have a choice. I think you have to go around killing everyone, because, like, that's where you're supposed to be getting your...
But you're a kid, which is kind of messed up.
Yeah.
I found it entertaining, but it was, like, unsettling, too. But it was nothing against the game. I just thought it was really well done.
It really
left a weird feeling in you.
Right. Like, and even if you were playing, you know, the good way or whatever, like, you still had to do it because it was all, like, you were being manipulated by this dude.
Story quest.
Like, yeah, you guys, you have to do this or I'm not going to let your dad out. Like, that was spoilers. So, whatever. But... spoilers, I mean,
it was black
that,
and white, so
spoilers in that nearing 9-year-old game, I guess 8-year-old game now. But I thought that was something that you don't play through that, and I think I've forgotten about that quest, but as soon as you talked about it, I was like, oh yeah, you put on the creepy clown mask and went around and killed everyone. I wonder if that's at all I'd have to take a look at the timeline of this. But also on your Plex server, one of your movies in your collection, you have the different Halloween movies.
Uh-huh.
And you know the one directed by Rob Zombie?
The recent one?
Yeah, I think it was the most recent one. But, like, at the beginning, it's all about Michael Myers as a kid, and he puts on this clown mask, who's always wearing it. I think that's newer. That might be newer than... I don't know, hard to say. It might be newer than Fallout 3. Like, he wears this clown mask when he's a kid and kills all these people, too. So, I don't know. Whatever, maybe it's probably an homage one way or the other. Either Rob Zombie's a big Fallout fan,
been like Stephen King's It.
Yeah, I suppose. Either, both of them. Yeah, that's probably the more likely. I guess Occam's Razor probably says they're both homaging Stephen King, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever. Nah, Stephen King, that book didn't do well, did it? It was like a bestseller. It's been like a bestseller a lot. Yeah, so... I think the scariest thing for me in Fallout 3 or any Fallout game, do you remember the first time you saw a centaur?
That was messed up. That was disgusting.
Yeah. Well, and like they always put them, I don't know, I guess you can find them in like in the actual city and stuff. The first time I think I come across them is like in Fallout 2 in some sewer or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just not ready for it. Like those are the...
Why does that ring a bell? Because like I remember like, you know, a centaur, half man, half horse, that's fine. But in Fallout 3, it was like really disgusting and disturbing. Was it like, were their guts hanging out or what was it? Oh, yeah. You just pull up a picture. Yeah, that was disgusting.
Yeah, there's
that
like
was absolutely disgusting.
Weird teeth in the middle of the torso. And it's like obviously part man. And then there's like all of its legs. And it's got like six legs are all human like torsos. And there's weird tendrils coming out of the mouth. It's really pretty horrific looking.
The nice thing, though, is the what's the combat system called? VATS?
VATS, yeah.
It's nice because you can kind of pause reality.
Right.
And to catch your breath and be like, okay, that's not the end of the world. I'm looking at it in VATS. I'm going to put a couple 357 cartridges right into its brain.
Right.
Everything's going to be fine. The nice thing about Fallout 3 is you can pause reality. Things get to be a bit too intense.
They continue that to an extent in Fallout 4.
As long as you have enough AP, right?
Yeah, but it's even when it's like kind of in that mode, it's not completely paused. Like things are moving in really slow motion. Oh. So you can't just do that. And because, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it was kind of unbalanced in Fallout 3. We could just walk in.
Absolutely, it was.
Absolutely just blow everyone's head off, especially if you got to level 20. Did you ever get Grim Reaper Sprint?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so at that
point... And then Bloody Mess.
At that point, you're completely invincible. You're just walking... Like, you walk into a room and everyone's head explodes, basically. So, like...
Well, we had Bloody Mess enabled, too, right?
I don't really go for that perk very much. I know what it really does. Like, it makes everyone's death, like, gruesome and horrifying.
Yeah, but also gives you more damage points.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Which See,
is primarily why I chose it.
In the first two games, you could pick these perks. Or I think that's what they were called. But they would, like... So they were good and bad. So like everything was good and bad. So you could have naturally talented or something like that. It would give you more points to allocate at the beginning of the match or at the beginning of the game to like put into your special stuff or whatever.
Sure.
But then also you would pick that and then you would only get a feat every four levels or something. I think. Or no, skilled. I always picked nature or natural... and skilled. Skilled was the other one. We start out more skill points, but you got less feats, I think. So, like, everything was... It was kind of a way of, like, giving your character individuality. So, like, everything was good. It either had no real effect on the game, or it did something good for you, but it also negated it by doing something kind of bad, too.
Okay.
So, Bloody Mess started out as being one of those, though, where it wasn't really... It didn't help you in any other way other than, like, everyone's death was extremely gruesome and, like, bloody. So, I mean, it didn't give you more damage points or anything.
I got a kick out of that, so I always chose it. Because it was hilarious. You just shoot someone with a small caliber pistol, and they would just explode into a pile of goo.
And then I think Lady Killer might have been one of those too, where like you did more damage and were more influential against women, but you also did less damage against men.
Yeah, but you had like more charisma with women too, right?
Yeah, but you had less charisma with men because of it. So I don't know. Maybe I have that wrong.
No, I think that sounds about right. It was a real trade off, which made me not choose it.
Yeah, something like that.
Because most of the dealings are with men in Fallout,
or
at least not most, but I'd say like 2/3 maybe.
I'm trying to remember, you can play as a woman in Fallout 3, right?
Yeah, you can.
I think you can, and even Fallout 2, I wonder if you can in Fallout 1. I think, yeah, going back all the way, you can play as a woman. So that's kind of, that's interesting in terms of, like, you don't see that a lot in older games, for sure.
True.
But, yeah.
A little ahead of its time there.
In Fallout 4, it's pretty interesting because you make your spouse also, and then based on what you look like and what your wife looks like, that's how your son looks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and through some of the storytelling elements, like, you're in this cryogenic freezing vault. That's what yours is, like, they're just putting people in cryostasis, basically.
Yeah.
That's why I think you're in the same landscape as in Fallout 3, but it's after that character would have been dead or whatever. I guess that makes some sense, too, because a lot of the wasteland water, like, can be purified. But... And maybe I have all this wrong. Who knows? But anyway, like, so like through some of the storytelling elements of the game, your son ends up getting to be older, like starts out as an infant and like you actually meet him when he's older. But yeah, I don't want to get in too much with that, but it's kind of cool because they talk about, you know, based on how you make your wife look and how you look, that kind of dictates what your son's going to look like.
It's kind of like we were talking about with GTA 5. This, but instead of choosing how you look based on your parents, your kid is dictated by how you and your spouse look.
Right.
Exactly. I think that's cooler.
That's a better way to do it than absolutely. Hey, you have very limited options for what you're going to look like.
Yeah.
You can either be John Goodman or some kind of white trash guy.
or a combination of the two.
I don't know how your friend got that John Goodman look.
I don't know how he never really noticed.
Funny. Right, until we pointed it out.
When he was in denial after that.
Which is really funny because he was like 200 plus hours in like GTA Online.
Oh, easily.
I don't think he wanted to restart his character.
No.
There should be, I'm sure that Rockstar will figure out a way to like monetize a way to redo your character's looks through a cosmetic surgeon or something for $5 actual or something.
I'm sure, at least.
It's probably coming, but whatever. You know, I'm looking for centaurs. I don't know if they're in Fallout 4 or not. I was going to take a look, because I've not come across any so far, and I'm completely fine with that. I think centaurs are...
Yeah, they were truly disgusting, and I'm okay with not seeing them again.
Right. Yeah, that was like a deterrent to playing that game for me. Just like, I don't know, it's weird because like the idea of the game isn't like it's grotesque or weird, but like that particular enemy type is pretty messed up.
Well, because you're thinking that it started out as a human, but then it got radiated and kind of mutated into that. So you're being reminded of the human suffering element of the nuclear wars.
Yeah, but I think also like it gets complicated because of like human centipede and stuff. So people are like, is this some kind of weird scientific experiment where this happened or something? And I don't know. I'm pretty glad they didn't put them in. The super mutants in Fallout 4 are still pretty crazy and stuff. So there's still like scary elements of the game where it's you can have jump scares and stuff in this series pretty easily. But I'm just trying to think of there's some of the quests are pretty fun. There's one that kind of starts up in Diamond City when you're walking into a bar and there's this woman who's kind of like cheating on her husband with the bartender. And so like the guy comes up to you and is like, hey, I need you to address this guy or whatever. You can go up there and like, you know, throw fists and kick his ass in like a bar fight or something and whatever. But so you can do that. Or I like with my charismatic character, I'm like, oh, civility and please don't do that. And he's like, all right, fine. But then he ends up telling you about some arrangement he has with like some drug dealer in town, and you end up going to this meeting with them. And like, that's when the evil in me kind of came out, where I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to kill pretty much everyone here and walk away with a lot of bottle caps and a lot of chems. So,
why wouldn't you ever do that?
Well, naturally. So, I don't know. I think the game's really fun. I'm surprised you haven't taken a look at it at all, even.
You know, honestly, I just haven't. I know I'll enjoy it, which is kind of a deterrent for me sometimes in video games because I know I don't have the time. But I know as soon as I pick it up, I'll be sinking dozens of hours into it. So I'll probably just wait for a sale and then snatch it up.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I guess that's one benefit of it being only single player, like, and always just being single player. I think it'd be kind of weird to do co-op in that game, although you have companions and stuff in this game. So like Dog Meat comes back again and
nice.
Yeah, I don't know. So like, so there's similar characters and there's some new ones and stuff. So Codsworth is actually one of the companions that can go with you, which is pretty cool. And he actually, there's a lot of names that he has programmed into his memory, I guess, or the program.
So half the time he says, like, hello, Matthew.
Yeah, so he'll call you like, oh, hello, Mr. Matthew, or like whatever. Like in my newest character's name, I just like pick Jack or whatever. He's like, oh, Mr. Jack, whatever. It's like, that's pretty cool. Maybe definitely call you Mr. John. I'm sure that's one of them.
I would hope.
you would think. Is you, I mean, your name is in among the most popular names for boys in the last.
So my question for you, did this game live up to its hype? I know they had some great trailers. It was definitely hyped quite a bit. Did it live up to it, in your opinion?
Yes. I think this is like the first game, especially if I was still confined specifically to Xbox One only or like a console platform. I'd say this would be like one of the best games available, especially for consoles right now, in terms of like this is maybe actually a next generation game, you know? Like, sure. I feel like a lot of the other stuff, I mean, it's graphically improved. There's not much more to say about it, but like the crafting system and everything in this and all the things you can do with the different settlements and all the building. There's just so many new mechanics to the game. The game looks a lot better. There's a lot of like weather effects and things. It's not always just different 10 different colors of beige, which I felt like was kind of the problem with Fallout 3.
Yeah, the whole sepia sort of sandy thing. It was depressing after a while. Like you wanted some green, you wanted some blue.
Some color, and there's some blue skies, and there's like different areas of the map that aren't completely depressing.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the things I really did not like about the game.
Fallout 3 had a completely earth tone palette. Right.
Yeah, and then like you go do that one virtual reality thing, instead of being really vibrant, it's black and white.
Right.
So it's not from lack of skill on their part. They just they put so much effort into maintaining a certain like what's the term I'm looking for?
Level of immersion, I guess.
Yeah. A certain
realism.
Yeah, like color scheme or whatever. Okay, sure. The term was for that.
Palette.
Palette. They focused so hard on that it actually ended up being kind of depressing after a while.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, the only escape from that was going into, like, the completely gray tunnels or whatever. So,
yeah.
Like, the subway system. And the subway's back and stuff in this.
But even, like, all the buildings would all have the same peeling wallpaper and the same drab interior.
Oh, I would say, like, they didn't shortcut anything in this game either. And there's so many, like, side quests and fun missions. And, like, I'm discovering new stuff all the time. And like you're saying with the map from Fallout 3, like, you basically throw a rock in any direction. There's something to do over there. Like, and there's some kind of settlement or something. And it's all, you don't feel crowded by all this stuff, but there's still enough on the map. You're like, oh, man, that's really cool. And I'm only, you know, this far from this settlement, or I'm only this far from this building and that sort of thing. So,
the term I was looking for was motif.
A motif. That's a great word. I would have never thought of it at this time. We're recording pretty late at night just because.
Well, it's only like 2:49 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, just, I don't know. It's a circumstance of us both being somewhat busy, but also still wanting to put out a podcast.
Yeah.
So that's why we're a little bit off topic too here and there. I really wish you would have played. You should maybe at some point go back and try and play the isometric Fallout games.
Are they available on Steam?
Yeah.
And do they work on today's computers?
Yeah, I'd have to try it again. I played
Fallout 3 is not rated for Windows 7.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, so it'd be interesting to find out.
I have it on Xbox 360 though.
I think I've played Fallout 2 some on Steam, but I've got 7 and you're on 10, so. Not Fallout on Windows. If you're on Fallout 10, that'd be kind of crazy. And one thing that was really cool, it was a mod that actually evolved from the original Fallout game, I think. Or no, it was Fallout 2. It was called Fallout Online. And it was an MMO version of the game that was created by modders. So, like, you would create an account and everything, go in and play this game. It was like an MMO, but it was also Fallout. And it was really fun. And every time you would die, you would lose all of your equipment. And other people could take it from you. So that's pretty hardcore. It's like original Diablo style, like multiplayer that's just brutal. And like, if you're dead, you lose everything. But
you start over.
Yeah. So that's just particularly tough in the wasteland. But yeah.
That's like RuneScape, right?
It still has one of my favorite experiences in all of Fallout, though. So because you could have other interactions with other actual human players or people out in the universe. There's a scumbag who was like attacking me in one of the settlements, just punching me because it was like one of these no weapons allowed. That was like one of the rules set up by the game. And so there was like security guards all over the town and stuff. And so I started typing to him. I'm like, all right, fine. You want to take this outside or what? And like, we go outside of the town and I don't know if he thought he was far away enough from the town that he could pull out a gun on me or something like that. This is so much fun. Like, when battle starts in that game, the whole thing is like the VAT system in the old games. Like, you have a certain number of action points you can use every turn. It's the same way in Fallout Online. So when combat started, he pulled out a gun and got ready to shoot me, and one of the guards just split him in half, and I took everything he had. I had, like, nothing. I was, like, still seriously running around in a vault uniform.
Just because he pulled out a gun, they start shooting at him?
So they just pulled out. This is a gun I don't think has made it into Fallout 3 or Fallout 4. It's called the Bozar, and it was, like, the first kind of, like, it was, like, a minigun if it was also a sniper rifle, and, like, the guard literally cut him in half, like, I mean, like, Bloody Mess style.
This is in Fallout 2?
Yeah, it was in the Fallout Online version of Fallout 2.
So, well, when were you playing this?
This would have been, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago at least.
Okay. But,
it was just like, I don't know, it was such a beautiful ending to like my playing that game too, because I didn't play it much longer after that. Like, I'm sure the guy had to respawn his character and was probably running as fast as he could to come find me, because I think with just his fists, his character is much higher level, could have still like completely beat me down. But I like took all of his stuff and immediately ran out of town and was gone, because it was really, really hard to find someone in particular, like especially in this game, because it was all a mod.
Yeah.
So you couldn't, I don't think you could even like add friends or whatever. So you had to kind of like find people and then follow them out.
Did he like you in the public chat?
He never found me again ever. So I just took all of his stuff and left. I don't think I even like really continued playing that much longer after that. But like, I know this guy was working.
You still have that stuff.
I bet I do.
He's probably trying to dox you in real life so that he can kill you and take your stuff back.
He had such awesome stuff though, and it was great.
I'm furious.
I'm sure he was. And I like never played it again.
Well, that's a good ending to a good story.
It's probably my favorite experience with any of the Fallout games, even though like that wasn't the best one. Like, Fallout 4 is so much more fun than any of its predecessors, in my opinion. And like, I know that seems like a very, hey, this game hasn't aged at all kind of thing to say yet, but like, I think even 5 years from now, people will prefer Fallout 4 to Fallout 3, 2, 1, you know, any of the previous.
But Fallout 10 will still be the best.
Probably. You know, in the Twitter poll, we've gotten a lot of stuff from New Vegas, and like, New Vegas was a lot of fun, but
it was
something you didn't like about it was you could kind of randomly walk into characters or enemies that were way higher than your level.
Yeah.
But
like those, what were they? Rad Scorpions on the way to Vegas.
Yeah. I ran across a couple death claws a few times that are like, you'd have to be at least level 20 to even stand a chance.
That's what it was. Death claws.
Oh, okay.
On the way to Vegas.
And they're in this kind of like mining area.
Right where you start at the very beginning of the game.
If you head north for a little while, there's like a mining facility there, and they're like, hey, don't go in there, death claws, if you talk to the NPCs. But if you're me, you're not talking to anyone because you just want to go to Vegas. And then you're like, oh crap, there's a death claw.
And how do you get to Vegas then? Or you had to level up high enough to kill those?
You kind of have to go around. There's, I mean, a few different ways to get there and stuff. And there's kind of, if you follow the main storyline, it'll take you to Vegas pretty quickly. But because in that game, you're trying to track down this guy who thought he killed you.
Yeah.
And he's in Vegas, but.
Because I got there eventually, but it took me a long time.
Right. Did you ever play, did you ever find out anything about the White Glove Society or know anything about them?
No.
So, like, a group of, like, aristocrats that are all fancy and hoity-toity and stuff. That's why it's called the White Glove Club or whatever, White Glove Society. But the big secret behind them is they eat people. So, like, a Soylent Green kind of thing. So, that's kind of funny. But, yeah, they're like a bunch of cannibals.
No, I did find a town where they crucified a bunch of people.
Yeah, that game's got some creepy stuff to it. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting.
That was weird. And then, like, this guy on the cross is begging you to kill him. Because he's in such pain.
Yeah. There's, in Vegas itself, there's the guy who's, they had those weird guys that rolled around on like one wheel and they had the like TV screen face.
Yeah.
And like he kept switching back and forth between different
cowboy
emotions.
Cowboy
one. Yeah. But like the main one I think would switch back and forth between being like good and evil and like mad and.
Well, one of the things that frustrated me is I finally got to Hoover Dam. I was like, there's got to be something good in here. And I spent like an hour exploring Hoover Dam, and it was just a dam with nothing in there.
Yeah, pretty much like inconsequential to the game other than the fact that it was
gigantic. So I explored every room, every level, and found absolutely nothing.
Well, I don't know. Like, I guess in line with the motif, like you're saying, for that whole like game. I don't know what anyone has to do with the dam, you know? Like, I mean, it gets to be a big fort, but it's kind of like not, other than a big living space, there's not a lot of benefit to living in a dam.
Power generation, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, so the final thing that I'll tell you about Fallout 4, something that's actually really cool. There's a lot of crafting in the game now, so that's kind of new. It kind of follows like Skyrim's type of, like, if you have these components, you can craft and modify your armor. And I'll tell you one thing about that, which is pretty awesome, which might sell you on the game, which is you were pretty famous for sometimes you'd be encumbered and you're walking around with too much weight. I'd be like, well, why the hell do you have that entire China set, John? Or why are you carrying around all those like glass cups or pitchers or bowls or whatever? And you're like, oh.
Because I'm a klepto.
And so you drop all that stuff. Well, all that stuff now gets broken down into components that you can use for crafting.
Oh,
so
nice.
There's actually a point now in carrying around like sugar bombs and like wonder glue and cameras. You can deconstruct them all? Yeah. You'll end up deconstructing all that stuff and using it to upgrade.
Turn it into building blocks.
And apparel. Yeah. So
cool. Well, maybe I'll check it out.
All right. Well,
if someone drops me a free copy, I will definitely check it out. FYI.
Well, someone might hit you up with an anonymous contribution in the same way that someone did that with Overwatch for me. So
what goes around comes around.
Right. Karma. Yeah. That's another thing.
Karma. Way to bring it full circle.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that's. I don't know. We pretty much dropped the bomb on Fallout, I think. So, you have anything else to add?
No. I think we covered it quite well. I said you dropped the bomb.
I dropped the ball, probably. But all right. Well, I doubt it's been enlightening, and we will catch you next time.
Nuclear winter of an episode, but
see you guys.
Thanks for joining us. Take care.